The Winter Olympics in Sochi, Russia begin tomorrow. Athletes from all over the world have gathered together, and many of those athletes have been training for this moment from early childhood. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Most of our kids will not grow up to be Olympians, but the pressure to specialize in just one sport at an early age is strong and getting stronger all the time. This hour, the pros and cons of specialization, and we'll find out what research tells us about preparing kids to be healthy adults. I'll talk with John O'Sullivan, founder of the Changing the Game Project, and Jennifer Waldron, physical education professor at the University of Northern Iowa. Join our conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. The Olympic Games in Sochi begin tomorrow, and for the next 2.5 weeks, the world will watch as elite athletes compete to see who is the best in the world at this moment. Many of the world-class athletes we'll be watching have been training for this moment from a very early age, and even though most of our kids will not grow up to be Olympians or professional athletes, or even college sports stars, the pressure to specialize in just one sport at an early age is strong and seems to be getting stronger all the time. This hour, we'll explore that trend, the danger it poses, and the benefits of participating in sports. We also want to hear from you. Many parents are struggling with this right now. We want to hear your story at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. I'll be talking with parents throughout the hour. With me right now is John O'Sullivan, founder of the Changing the Game Project. Hello, John.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for inviting me on.
Also with me is Jennifer Waldron. She's a physical education professor at the University of Northern Iowa. Hello, Jennifer.
Hello, Charity. Good morning.
Thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
And John, I want to start with you. You were a very active participant in the world of youth sports before starting this project. Give us an idea of your background.
I was a multi-sport athlete growing up, and then I moved on to I stuck with soccer throughout high school, played in college, and played professionally for a while. And then pretty young, I got into the full-time coaching world and was able to coach on high school, the college level, and then ran youth clubs kind of all around the country in the East Coast and the Midwest, and last place was in Oregon.
So you started this Changing the Game project, and the mission is to ensure that we return youth sports to our children and put the play back in play ball. What was it that you saw that made you think, wait a minute, we're headed in the wrong direction?
You know, basically what I saw was just a change in values in youth sports that I think reflected a change in values in pop culture, and this quest for immediate fame, this quest that this was a path to wealth and things like that. And what I saw was so many kids just being forced to specialize in sports really young, being forced to, you know, go to tryouts and potentially get cut when they're 8 or 9 years old, and really just a culture that was adding so much pressure that it was taking the enjoyment out of sports. And I was running a youth soccer club at the time, and I said, wow, why am I not educating the parents in our organization? And then I looked around and I said, there really needs to be something that provides this ongoing information and education and gets the information in the hands of parents from a perspective of, hey, here's how you can help your kids play their best. Here's how you can help them play up to their potential. And so I founded the Change the Game Project about 2 years ago to do that.
Was there a specific incident that you witnessed that really was the tipping point for you? Can you tell us the story of one child, maybe?
I don't know that there was a specific incident. There was one which was kind of a very personal one for me. I was skiing with my family, and my son, who was about 5 years old at the time, He fell at the bottom of a hill with a big jump on top of it, and his ski popped off. And my wife and I were down the hill, and people just kept launching off this jump, and we're watching him thinking, oh, my God, my poor son's going to get crushed here. And my thing after coaching for many years is one of these kids is going to stop. One of these kids is going to stop and help my son. And 15 kids later, all they did was yell at me and my wife for being there, and no one stopped to help my son. I said, who's giving these kids values, and where is their sort of organized sports background that's teaching them about leadership and teamwork and caring about other people? So that was kind of a trigger incident for me of like, I got to do something about this.
Well, I read an article that was published in the New York Times, and it was just about a week ago that it was published, and it's called Committing to Play for a College Than Starting in Ninth Grade.
Yeah.
And it's about college player about soccer players who are being recruited by colleges when they're in eighth grade and actually signing with a college when they're in ninth grade. Were you witnessing stuff like that happening?
Definitely, and that article was focused heavily on women's soccer, and definitely on the women's soccer front, the move to recruit athletes was going earlier and earlier and earlier. And I never met a college coach who liked it, but they all said, well, everyone else is doing it, so I have to as well. And it's funny, it's very reflective of the whole sports culture as well. Everyone else is getting their kid to specialize early, so I have to as well if my kid wants to keep up. And so, yeah, that was a very sad thing, because I coached some very high-level girls, and when we were in 14, like, I always told them, don't commit. Don't commit before your junior year. You can't commit to a college when you've never been on campus, when you've never actually met the coach in person. You don't even know what you want to major in. And so, but what I would tell them was, starting at 14, 15, if we're going on a trip, you should at least start visiting schools on the way, so you can kind of get an idea of what does a college even look like.
Right. Well, Jennifer, I want to bring you into the conversation as well. You also are a former athlete. You work with athletes all the time. Have you also witnessed some of these trends?
Absolutely. We see this continued pressure and environmental pressure, really, in order to specialize, and that more is always better, and that my child needs year-round training in order to be successful in sport. And I think the important thing is that sport has a strong potential to achieve important objectives that we all think sport actually can do for children, such as leadership and teamwork and life skills and pro-social behaviors. The key is that it has a strong potential. And so once we start to get in this environment where winning and achievement is everything, then sometimes those positive objectives that we assume are going to happen just don't come to be.
Well, and you have both looked at the research surrounding the effects of playing sports as kids. There are many positive effects, and we'll get into those as well. But you've also looked at many of the detrimental effects of specializing too early. And Jennifer, your conclusion is that it doesn't make sense to specialize before you're 13 years old?
It really doesn't. The research, which is continuing to grow, suggests that early specialization, and by early specialization, we mean specializing in one sport year-round, typically defined as before the age of 13, but in some places before the age of 15. And what we're finding when that happens is that children don't develop their identity fully. And so one of the downsides is that they only know themselves as an athlete, and they're not able to understand themselves in other facets. The burnout rate, that they just get so tired of that particular sport, increases tremendously, and that can lead to dropout and other problematic behaviors. And then, of course, the overuse injuries that we are seeing occurring at much higher rates. And so there are problems with specialization. There's also a study that just came out in Sports Health that looked at all the data that exist about specialization, and they found that only two sports found that early specialization lead to greater success later on. And those two sports were gymnastics and diving, where biomechanically speaking, it's important to really be before puberty.
Right, prepubescent.
Yeah, thank you.
So, of course, those are also two sports where it's very easy to grow out of them.
Absolutely, absolutely. And this is part of if we're not able to have other identities outside being an athlete, once you grow out when you're 17 or 18, many athletes struggle with who am I? What other things do I enjoy doing? Do I have other hobbies? And so that struggle can be very detrimental, lead to depression and other psychological problems.
Now, John, I know that you have looked at so many different areas of research into kids and sports, and there is so much pressure on parents, I think, to have their child specialize early. I've even run into it, and my kids aren't particularly into sports, but my daughter in kindergarten said, I don't really want to play soccer. And when I told a friend, oh, she doesn't want to play this year, they said, well, if she doesn't play this year, then she may not ever be able to play. And I thought, what? She's five. So there are a lot of myths that parents spread to one another. And one of those that you want to explode is that children have to specialize early. You think that's just not true?
Yeah, I don't think it's true at all. As she just cited all the research on, there are a couple of early specialization sports because athletes reach their peak during their teenage years, so they have to get in the hours early. But for the vast majority of sports, besides the overuse injury, what we find is that specialization creates better all-around athletes, and that kids who play in sports that have similar patterns, so say a soccer player who plays basketball or who plays lacrosse, they can actually improve their pattern recognition and their ability to play, not only athletically, but just their cognitive performance becomes better by playing across multiple sports, never mind the fact that, again, you cut down on the burnout factor. And what Jennifer was touching on is when these kids specialize really, really early, usually one of three things disappears: their enjoyment of the sport, their autonomy and their ownership over the sport, or basically their intrinsic motivation to participate in the sport. And without those three things, a child will never become an elite athlete as a later teenager or college age or an adult, because you have to have those three things.
You have to love it and you have to enjoy it. We're going to go to a break here in just a moment. We do want to talk to parents throughout the hour, so join us with your stories and your questions, your concerns at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. My guests are John O'Sullivan, founder of the Changing the Game Project. You can find it online at changingthegameproject.com. Also with me is Jennifer Waldron, a physical education professor at the University of Northern Iowa. And as I mentioned, we're going to talk to a couple of parents in just a moment. I'll talk with Stephanie Slaba of Kelowna, Iowa, a mother of five kids who are all involved in sports. That's coming up in just a moment. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about kids and sports and the increasing pressure to specialize early. With me this hour is John O'Sullivan. He's founder of the Changing the Game Project, and also Jennifer Waldron, physical education professor at the University of Northern Iowa. I want to get to the phones. Jeff is on the line in Waterloo. Hello, Jeff.
Hello. How are you?
Good. And you have two kids, right?
I do. I have a junior in high school, and then I have a sixth grader who's 12. So,
and they both started playing sports pretty young, at age four or so?
Yeah. I mean, they did the pee-wee league, started out with t-ball and that kind of thing, and then that just kind of expanded from there. But they've been playing sports ever since then.
Have they specialized in something?
No. No, and we've really encouraged them to play multiple sports, and I think your guest has expounded on that it really helps not just develop the one particular sport, the skills, but some of the things that they can develop with playing other sports. My son plays basketball, baseball, and football, and my daughter is a softball, volleyball, and a basketball player.
Have you felt pressure to specialize?
Not so much my son. It's kind of ironic. He's a junior in high school, but now with my daughter being younger, there has been a little bit of pressure of focusing more on one sport, practicing year round. And we've kind of tried to balance that with what sport is in season. And then, you know, if they have time to go, you know, hit in the hitting cage or something for softball, we'll allow it. But, yeah, it's a little more, there is a little more pressure on her age at this point than we did for our son.
Interesting. So maybe there's been a shift even in the last 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, I mean, my son played, you know, his in-season sports, but then the one sport, he played basketball in the summer through the AAU circuit. And, you know, he kind of, you know, balanced baseball and then also the AAU basketball. So that was the one sport that he, and then, you know, he'd go to a camp here and there, but it wasn't really, you know, 2 days a week we need to be practicing this sport. The other 2 days we need to be practicing that sport. So there was a nice balance there.
Has your daughter expressed a desire to specialize, to just focus on softball all year long?
No. No, she enjoys the three sports that she's doing now. She was in gymnastics. I think that when she was in gymnastics, that got to be a little much. They were expecting her to be there 4 or 5 nights a week, you know, and she was kind of wanting to do things with her friends. She was wanting to do other things, and that was one sport that I think she kind of got burnt out. Just because of the demand that they were asking those gymnasts to do.
And both of your kids think they want to go on and be athletes in college, right?
Yeah, obviously we're starting to hear from colleges for my son. He's a junior playing basketball and starting to hear from different schools, and so it's kind of a different experience for when I was in high school. A lot more accessibility with the internet and with social media they really it's just crazy how easily it is to find a student athlete or a coach or, you know, visit a campus online, you know, for that matter.
Well, Jeff, thank you so much for calling.
Yeah, appreciate it. I think you guys are, this is a great show. I think it's I think the specialization of sports, I think, has gone a little too far. I think really the reality of things is the percentage of kids going on to play college sports and be Olympians is just such a small percentage that kids need to be kids and you know, enjoy the multiple sports. So thank you very much.
Yeah, Jeff, thanks a lot for your call. And I mean, John, I hear somebody who is doing pretty much all the things that you talked about, making sure that the kids get a chance to explore their interests and do different things. The culture around sports seems to have changed so much in the last 30 years. When I was a kid, it was very rare to even have the opportunity to play one sport year round. But now there seem to be many opportunities to play one sport year round.
Yeah, you're correct. And it's really twofold. Number one is the rise of multiple youth sports organizations, such as the ones that I ran, where they are providing year round opportunities to play soccer or volleyball. Then you also have a cut in education funding across many states, and usually the first things to go are school sports programs, or they become fee-based programs as well. And so what's really happened is that the culture has shifted because there's this belief that sports is an investment in a future scholarship, and you're investing in very young year-round sports, so, well, we got to get this payback on the back end of it.
Right, you have to have the investment pay off. I want to bring Stephanie Slaba into the conversation. She lives in Kelowna, Iowa, and she and her husband have 5 kids, ages ranging from 4 to 17. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Charity. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Have all of your kids participated in sports?
They have. The 4-year-old, we just started with a basketball camp a couple weeks ago, so that was kind of his first try, but he liked it, so... it was fun. I do have my 2 older kids. You know, we also did the peewee baseball and softball, and now they have kind of become specialized. I wouldn't say that it's a year-round thing for my 17-year-old. He's a golfer, so obviously right now we can't be golfing. But my 12-year-old has always loved sports, and he's good at them. And so I think it's easy when you have a child who loves it as much as he does to want to let him specialize.
Right. Well, and a lot of kids ask to specialize.
Absolutely. And last night I was kind of trying to pick his brain a little bit before we talked today. And I said, what would happen if we just decided not to do baseball anymore? And he said, my life would be ruined. And I, obviously it's a little dramatic, but, I think children's personality depends on, I think our involvement depends on our child's personality.
Well, John, you write about that as well, because a lot of parents hear that from their kids. All I want to do is play baseball, or all I want to do is play basketball or softball. What do you do if your kid is begging to be allowed to play their sport all year round and focus?
Yeah, I think that's one of the hardest questions that I get, because as she's speaking about, your child is doing all the things. They're leading it. They're the one who wants to be there. They love it. They can't imagine their life without it. But I think by the same token, if all your kid wanted to do was math and not learn to read, you would say, well, reading is kind of an important life skill as well. And what you can actually teach them, I think, is prior to the age of 12, prior to their growth spurt, if you do this, it'll actually make you better in a sport like baseball. If you do basketball, it might make you a better soccer player. So what you have to do as a parent is be the adult in the situation and say, I know you love this. I think it's great, but this is going to actually help you do better in it. And it's also going to prevent you, make you more excited about your sport and prevent you from getting injured, especially in sports like baseball, where we've now seen, middle school age kids getting Tommy John elbow surgery because they've thrown too many pitches already. It's incredibly scary.
Well, and Stephanie, you've been parenting now for 17 years.
Sure.
And have you noticed things changing? Have you noticed more opportunities for league play, that kind of
Absolutely.
Thing?
Absolutely.
Club
I
play.
Think, when our oldest was younger, here in Kelowna, we just had town ball, which is just, it's very relaxed. Parents coach. You get together with other parents to set up, practice times. And the opportunities weren't there to do anything like club ball. And then by the time my 12-year-old, I think he was about third grade, locally someone started a group and it kind of took off. And I guess one of my concerns with organized sports as far as doing, and we were never one of those families who, I said from the beginning, we will never be a club ball family. We will not travel all weekend long just to go to some game. And we don't. Ours are very local. We don't go very far. And there are no tryouts. It's kind of whoever wanted to do it. But I do feel like the climate has changed. We had a state tournament in Des Moines last year, and I do remember just being in shock at some of the parents interacting with not our team but other teams, how disrespectful they were to each other, to the children. And I think we have been extremely fortunate to have a team of parents who are all on the same page as far as everybody's trying their best. We're here to have a good time. But I don't see that everywhere, and it is really concerning.
Well, and also, Stephanie, with five kids, sports are expensive.
Oh,
that,
yeah,
that must
they
be
are.
Frightening as well.
It is. And I think we are limited. I'm a student, and so it is. It's expensive, and you have to really consider that. My 8-year-old, who's in second grade, they're starting a team. It's the same kind of club team that my 12-year-old does. And that is a consideration. Do we want to put this in the budget? Is he old enough? Is it old? It's a lot of, we did have someone approach us and ask if he would do it. And one of the comments made was, if you don't do it now, he might not have a spot later. Mm. And to us, we think he's going to be fine either way. It's if he wants to play, we'll let him play. But I don't know. It's there's so many variables that goes into it. It is a hard decision.
And does it sometimes feel like you're deciding his whole life when he's 8 years
yeah.
old?
Sometimes, yes, because I think the thing is, if you don't start them and they don't get on that team, you can start another team later, but you have to have enough kids to start a team. And you have to have enough people who are willing to invest the time and the money and that kind of thing. So I don't know. We haven't quite decided yet, but we'll see.
Do you have anything you want to ask our guests before I let you go on your way?
I think I would like to know age appropriateness. Like, is it really, you know, are we doing our children more harm than good, letting them start organized sports so early?
All right, Jennifer, can you weigh in on that?
Sure. There's a number of different models out there that really talk about more of a developmental approach or developmental model to sport participation. One is from Cote, who does a lot within youth sport, and he talks about entry into sport happening at about the ages of 6 and 7. And then between the ages of about 7 and 11 should be a sampling phase where children are able to participate in a variety of sports, that there is some deliberate practice, but there's a lot of play and exploration within those particular settings. And then from there, after the age of 11 or 12, you can start to narrow a little bit your sport. So you're not specializing in one sport particular, but you say, you know what, I really like soccer and I really like basketball, and so I'm going to pursue those two particular sports. And to stay in shape during the spring, I'll run track and field. And then by the time you're 15 or so, you can start to invest a little bit more in one particular sport. So that's one model that we see. I know that John follows the long-term athlete development model more, and that's out of Canada. And similarly, it just starts with an active start at the beginning, and then at between the ages of about 6 and 8 is really on the fundamentals. And so keeping a wide range of motor skill experiences so kids can just start to develop how to jump and how to run correctly and those wide base of motor skills. And then as you start to age, you can start to train and learn how to train and become more competitive. And so there are a number of models. I think Stephanie brings up a good point, though, is that environmental constraints make it more difficult for parents to have a sampling phase or a wide range of sports when you have people saying, well, if your son or your daughter is not on the team right now, then there may not be a spot later. And so those environmental constraints, I think it makes it very difficult for parents to keep that sampling and diversification in place. I also just want to add, in terms of the opportunities that have expanded, we know that opportunities for girls have expanded, and so some of what we're seeing also is connected with that in terms of increased opportunities in sport organizations. And just to add that today is National Women and Girls Day in sport. So,
well, Stephanie, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Charity.
And best of luck to you and all your kids.
Oh, thank you very much.
Stephanie Slabot lives in Kelowna, Iowa. She and her husband have 5 kids, ages ranging from 4 to 17. And, you know, just in the participation that my kids have done in sports, I've seen so many different kinds of parent reactions and interactions. Stephanie was talking about the parents who, you know, shout at their kid while they're out on the pitcher's mound and really put pressure on that child, and everybody else just stares and thinks, how can you talk to your child that way? And that can be a very frightening experience. And we've seen, of course, things blow up and turn into very frightening experiences in the news. Those have been stories we've seen over the last 10 or 15 years quite a lot. But there are even on a much smaller scale. I remember coaching my son's 5-year-old soccer team and parents being aghast that nobody was keeping score. What? Why aren't we keeping score? So there does seem to be a shift in the parent culture as well, John.
You're exactly right. And when you ask a 6-year-old, there's a couple of them who might keep score during the game, but within 5 minutes after, the only thing they care about is whether you're getting ice cream or a smoothie,
right,
or where you're going for lunch. And it's usually the parents that hang on to the score and hang on to whether their team won by a lot or lost by a lot. And for some reason, parents behave one way in youth sports and completely different and usually far more sensibly in things like academics and the rest of life. I remember Hockey Canada a bunch of years ago came out with some great videos where, you know, there's a mom at the party and she's yelling at her daughter because she's not pinning the tail on the donkey. And she's saying, oh, you know, we worked on this at home. We got killed at musical chairs. What are you doing? The whole and the whole premise of the thing of the commercial is, if it's not appropriate here, why is it appropriate in the rink? Why is it appropriate on the sideline? And that's what we really have to do, I think, is educate parents and coaches as well to understand that this is what's going to help your kids play better, and this is not helping the behavior that that most of us engage in these days.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm talking with John O'Sullivan, founder of the Changing the Game Project, and Jennifer Waldron, physical education professor at the University of Northern Iowa. We're talking about kids' sports, the pressure to specialize at an early age, and the culture that surrounds sports for kids. You can join our conversation at 866-780-9100, tweet us at IPR Talk, or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about kids and sports. We're talking about the increasing pressure to specialize in a sport early and how the culture around kids' sports has changed. With me right now is John O'Sullivan, founder of the Changing the Game Project, and Jennifer Waldron. She's physical education professor at the University of Northern Iowa. And, you know, Jennifer, earlier when you were talking about the sort of an ideal plan for kids who really want to be involved in sports to help them grow and become good at their sports, but also be a little more well-rounded in sports, it also makes me think, when is the time for music lessons? And when is the time to sit and read a book? And when is the time to play? I mean, that seems like something that could get lost in the shuffle.
That's absolutely correct. And, you know, when we do have that early specialization, that becomes part of the difficulty is that athletes and youth just don't have the time to expand those other areas in their life. And they don't have the time to pursue other things that they're competent with, other skills that they need to develop in order to be functioning in life. And so it is a problem that that time piece and that training at such a high level for year round becomes problematic.
Well, and John, with different sports, something we were talking earlier about gymnastics and how it does pay off in gymnastics to specialize early because these athletes reach their peak before they become adults. There are other sports where it seems to me that the hours really mount up quickly. And one of those is dance. And that may not be something that a lot of people think about when they think about sports. But, you know, I know many girls who spend 5 nights a week, maybe 6 days a week, going to dance and spending many hours there every week. Have you looked at those kinds of sports as well?
Not in terms of looking at a lot of research on there, and maybe Jennifer would know better if there is specific research into something like dance. But what I do get a lot of people reaching out to me who are involved in dance and who are involved in gymnastics, and I think gymnastics is really the big one because they know that they have to put in these hours earlier, and they just don't know what to do, and they want their kids to do music, they want their kids to do art, they want their kids to have free play and fun. And I think what it really comes back to is taking that step back and saying, what is the true role and purpose of sports in my child's life? Is it to become an elite athlete, or is it to teach them these positive core values and how to overcome challenges and obstacles and life lessons and become a better person? And then if they happen to have the genetics and the coaching and the motivation, yeah, maybe they'll become an elite athlete as well. And so that's what I just ask people to take a step back and say, don't worry that your kid's missing the window. Worry that they're becoming a great person, because the genetic piece plays a big part of it. As much as people don't like to admit that, it's a huge part of it. Some people are just not going to play in the NBA, no matter how many basketballs they shoot.
I want to get back to the phones. A lot of people want to join this conversation. Thomas is up next in Estherville. Hi, Thomas.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good. What would you like to talk about?
When I was young, I was one of those kids that started playing early. I played baseball, and I was one of those elite kids that had a chance to go professional and all that. But as a young kid, I was 16 years old when I was a senior in high school, and after that, I kind of made a mistake, and baseball was taken from me. And all throughout high school, I didn't really pay attention, you know, in school. I only did enough to get by because I always thought that baseball was going to be my thing. And once that was taken, I mean, to this day, I had no idea, you know, what I want to be. You know, I've gone from job to job and stuff like that. And it's hard, and I'm scared of letting my kids take a passion like that for a sport and then to have it taken from them, whether it's through an injury or a mistake they make in life. How do I, as a parent, coach them through that?
That's a great question, Thomas. And do you have kids now?
I have 4 children, 2 boys and 2 girls.
And are they wanting to be involved in sports?
Well, they haven't had that, you know, they don't necessarily say, oh, I want to do this, I want to do that, but I'd like to introduce them in the sports.
Well, Jennifer, why don't I let you respond to that? Because it sounds like Thomas experienced a lot of what both you and John are worried about, focusing too early, too much, and then not having it pan out.
Absolutely. And I think as parents and as coaches, you know, we're stakeholders within the youth sport arena. And so we are able to help shape the experience that youth have, and we can help them interpret those particular experiences. And so as parents and coaches, then, you know, some of the things that we want to do is make sure that we are focused on putting forth effort and reinforcing the effort that our athletes are putting forth, as well as them learning and improving skills. And we also want to make sure that we create environments where they know that mistakes are okay to make, that we learn from those particular mistakes. And how we frame winning and how we frame success becomes important, again, to shape and help athletes interpret their experiences. I think that in terms of athletics in particular, the caller is absolutely correct, is that, you know, for many, that passion can be taken away with a career-ending injury, with not making it to the next level of competition or something else. And so, again, we have to work and help our young athletes understand that there's other areas of life, and what we're learning in sport can transfer over to those arenas.
John, do you want to weigh in on that as well?
Yeah, I would, and those points are fantastic that Jennifer makes. And Thomas, I hear exactly what you're saying because I hear that story all the time. And the best advice that I ever got was about 10 years ago from a man named Bruce Brown, and he runs an organization called Proactive Coaching. What he said, if you really want to make a difference in your kid's life as a parent, as a coach, every time they step off that sports field, just tell them that you love watching them play. If you tell your kids that I love watching you play, what you do is basically that you reinforcing every time they play sports that their identity is not tied to their sport, that your love of them is not tied to their sport. And it is something that I pass on to every parents group that I speak with, to every group of coaches, and people kind of laugh and say, well, that's silly, that sounds so simple, but it's probably the most powerful thing that you can do. And so if you want to ensure that your kids don't take that thing where they're all about, oh, it's a sport, and I am this sport, and without the sport, I'm nothing. Just let them know that your love for them as a dad has nothing to do with whether they win or lose, just that you love them because they're your kids.
Thomas, thank you so much for your call. And this hour, we've been talking a lot about the negatives of early specialization, but we haven't spent a lot of time talking about the positives of engaging in sports. And there are so many positives for kids as well. I mean, Jennifer, we have been focusing on the negative, but there are a lot of great things that come out of this kind of participation, right?
Absolutely. There are so many great things when the environment is created in a way to allow for personal development and long-term development of the individual athlete, as well as understanding that competition and winning is part of sport, and we don't take that away, but we also have this other outcome that we're trying to develop. And so we all know the list. If you say, why is sport important? Why do you put kids in sport? Develop leadership, teamwork. We know that life skills such as goal setting, stress management, we're able to develop and transfer over to other arenas in life. Pro-social behaviors, we're able to learn. Understanding how to work with other people, having diverse peer groups, that adult interaction, and so having role models who are beyond parents and teachers in terms of coaches and assistant coaches. And so there's just so many great things that sport can develop in kids.
Well, and even when we talk about competition, I mean, the drive to compete can be a great thing, and also learning to lose can be a real benefit for kids.
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely. And the importance in terms of competition is how we define success. And in our society, success is so often associated with winning or losing. So if I win, I'm successful. If I lose, I'm a failure. And again, as we help shape and interpret experiences for our youth, making sure that success is connected to effort. And, you know, John Wooden, his definition of success, you know, I'm just going to say the small little bit about striving to become the best that you can be. And that really sums up how we should be interpreting success for our young athletes.
And John, I want you to have your say in just a moment. Let's get back to the phones, though, as well. Leslie is on the line in Iowa City. Hello, Leslie.
Hi, Charity. How are you?
Good. And of course, this is Leslie Nolte, who's a dance instructor in Iowa City and owns a dance academy. I'm sure this is something you feel very strongly about, Leslie. What would you like to talk about?
I'm a little bit stuck in between because I do have five children, plus I run an organization for children who both are here to learn the art and also to compete. And I believe that my biggest job when a family comes in is to be fair and honest to the parents, and I take it upon myself to mention things such as ballet, for instance, is a marathon, not a sprint, so coming 6 days a week when your daughter is six actually isn't good for them. So I do believe that, and it's been mentioned a few minutes ago on your show, that the coach or director of what you are doing, I believe, has a responsibility to their customers and teammates and family members to make sure that they do have the best interests of the kid in mind, not necessarily their team or business.
And that must be within the field. You must see a wide variety of people with different approaches.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, there's not an Olympics for dance, so I guess that helps us out a little bit. Nobody has to be trained and ready by the time they're 12 or 14 or even 16. But community, not our community, but the community as a whole, has led us to believe, you know, faster, sooner, better. And in so many things, like have been mentioned on your show, that's not the case. And I find it personally my job to make sure that I don't let the families or even myself get caught up in some of that thinking.
Well, and John, I know you were a coach as well, and clearly you were a coach who didn't like what you were seeing going on other teams. And Leslie's in a similar situation where she has to make decisions about the kids who are under your care. Did you find that to be a struggle too, John, where you had to make decisions where other coaches weren't willing to make those same decisions?
Yeah, very much so. And I think she touches on an incredibly important point, which is when you're running a dance studio or a youth soccer club, and you, especially with these younger kids, you try to back them off and say, you don't need to dance 6 days a week. What happens is someone comes in and says, oh, well, I'll let your son do this 6 days a week. They're just not serious about it. I'll make your kid elite. And what happens is, of course, if a kid puts in more hours younger, are they going to be better than their peers at that point? Sure. But if you're thinking long term, if you're thinking the marathon, as she says, well, you know, things even out eventually. And so I think it's one of the most difficult things. I meet so many coaches who want to do it right, but they at the same time feel this pressure that if I don't win this game, or if I don't win more games than I lose, if I just focus on development and tell kids to do the right thing, my customers leave and go somewhere else
to the person who's doing it wrong, but has a little flashier uniforms.
Well, Leslie, thank you so much for your call. And John, we have talked about the parent culture. We've talked about the kids who want to specialize and feel like this is their ticket to professional sports or college scholarships or the Olympics. But we haven't focused that much on the coaches. And we have seen a change in coaching culture.
Yes, we have a bit. And, you know, being a professional coach for many years, I don't like to throw coaches under the bus because the vast majority of them are very good people and want to do it right. Now, one of the things that I've seen, especially in my sport of soccer, in the United States compared to the rest of the world, is that coaching education is not as valued here as it is other places. What we have, or what we had 30 years ago, was a lot of teachers and a lot of physical PE teachers who were doing all the coaching. And so while they might not have known as much about a sport, they understood education, they understood how kids learn, they understood how to teach, and they understood child psychology and development. What we have now is a lot of people who know the game, but they don't know anything about kids. And knowing the game and being able to teach it are two completely different things. And I think, again, what we have to do is do a much better job of educating coaches on how to teach, and this is how kids think, and this is what they do when they're 6 years old, and there's a specific reason why 6- and 7-year-olds run around in a big, giant blob on the soccer field, because you have 8 kids and 1 toy. Of course they're all going to fight over.
Well, before we run out of time, one of the things that most of us as parents want out of sports, I mean, we've talked about, Jennifer, all of the great things that kids can get out of sports, but I think a lot of us as parents just want our kids to be physically active and to grow up to be healthy, physically active adults. And John, you've pointed to research that also points out that specialization can have a negative impact on lifelong health and being active as an adult as well.
Yeah, and there's it's sort of emerging stuff, and I'm sure Jennifer is familiar with it as well, and there's not a ton of evidence about it because it's very, very hard to track, but I think one of the studies was done on Russian swimmers where, you know, Eastern Bloc swimmers, they were taken in very young and put in these sports, and what they found in these very small studies is that children who specialize early not only burn out more, but then they just give up sports altogether and they become inactive adults. And we all know the consequences of that from health problems. And, you know, usually kids who are not active don't do as well in school. They do drugs more often. They don't make as much money throughout their life. And then they raise inactive kids and the cycle continues. So that might be the scariest thing of all, is that if your child specializes early, they might just give up sport altogether.
So in the final 30 seconds we have of the show, John, is there something that parents who are worried about that, who just really want their kids to grow up to be healthy adults, should know?
Yeah, just make sure your kids follow their passion and that they own it and that you listen to what they want out of sport and just let them be the driver of the car. Let them do what they want and always come back to, are you having fun? Is this enjoyable? Do you want to be there? Because without fun, nothing else exists.
John O'Sullivan, thank you so much.
Thank you.
John O'Sullivan is founder of the Changing the Game Project. You can find it online at changingthegameproject.com. And Jennifer, thank you.
Thank you.
Jennifer Waldron is physical education professor at the University of Northern Iowa. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Tomorrow on the show, we'll explore the problem of eating disorders.